of anything you're doing in that realm.
Hi, everyone. Can you guys hear me? Great. So as Nick said, I work for the University of Maine Sea Grant. I've been with Sea Grant for about 16 years, and I'm part of our marine extension team. You mentioned Dana Morse, who helps a lot with aquaculture. I do a lot of similar work as Dana Morse at Sea Grant, except one of the areas that I try to focus on is helping fishing and aquaculture businesses sort of tap into the opportunities in tourism, recognizing that tourism can be a bit of a bad word and sort of raises the hackles of a lot of people. So a lot of what we do is try to figure out how to focus on tourism initiatives that are good for the business, good for the fishermen, good for the community, and provide a quality experience so that people come back and keep spending money in your community. One of the things before I jump into sort of some of the resources and trends, just to kind of give you an overview, is I just wanted to mention, Nick mentioned that we had some folks who were going to come who couldn't come to the forum, and I just wanted to take a couple minutes to give you their story because they have a really cool story. So it's the Alma Lobster Shop of Alma, New Brunswick, Canada, not New Brunswick, New Jersey. And these folks, has anyone been to Alma, New Brunswick? So it's at the foothills of the Fundy National Park, all the way at the upper reaches of the Bay of Fundy. It's a beautiful place right on the bay. And it's a lobster fishing community. And this particular family, who was going to come but couldn't because of a family emergency, has really sort of epitomizes sort of this opportunity for fishermen to diversify and not necessarily start a new business, but add, sort of diversify the portfolio of what the business is doing in order to make a little bit of extra money along the way. They've done all kinds of things ranging from, they've started tours, so they have three boats between different various generations in the family. Some of them do scenic tours, some of them do lobster-oriented tours, some of them do deep sea fishing, shark fishing, that kind of stuff. They've started a restaurant, they have a fish market on site, both for the retail, for folks who come to the national park who want to get local seafood, but also they export. And they have a little cottage, so they've really worked on kind of, you know, they started as a fishing family and then started thinking, what is our skill set that we could utilize to diversify a little bit so that we can bring a little bit more income to the family? Another thing that they've done, which is pretty cool, is they've developed a festival in partnership with all the other fishing families in Alma, of which there are many, to celebrate the launch of the fishing fleet every fall. So as you might know, in Canada, the fishing lobster is managed a little bit differently, right? It's seasonal. So in Alma, New Brunswick, the season happens to be roughly October to December. So every year they have this big festival celebrating the launching of the season. And it's great for the local fishermen because it sort of celebrates the heritage. It celebrates and honors what the fishing community is all about. And at the same time, it's bringing in some extra income from visitors who come to the community to sort of tap in and understand what the fishing community is all about and spend their money locally, spend their money within the family's sort of various business enterprises. And what started as this sort of little small event, and the thing that you have to recognize about the Bay of Fundy is that in order to leave the port of Alma to go out to the fishing grounds, you have to do it at high tide, otherwise you're sitting on the mud because the tides where they are is 40 to 50 feet, right? So half the time the festival is at midnight or whenever the high tide happens to be, and they've brought out hundreds of people to this festival. I recommend going. I'm hoping to go next year. And it's turned into, you know, started as this great opportunity for families to just see off the guys with a cup of coffee in the middle of the night to gathering hundreds of people to sort of celebrate the fisheries heritage and contribute to the local economy in all kinds of creative ways. They have bagpipers because it's Canada, and they do all sorts of cool things. So anyways, I just wanted to share that family. They would have done a much better job telling their story than I would have. But I think that they, had they been able to come, they sort of exemplify this sort of creative energy of thinking about ways to sort of augment your business so you can take advantage of the fact that there are so many people out there who think that fishing is just about the coolest thing on the planet, and if only I got to know more about it, if only I could pay someone to take me out and teach me about it. So one of the things that James and Nick asked me to talk about a little bit is, is there room in Maine for fishermen and fish farmers to sort of grow in this area? And what I will say is that the global trends in travel couldn't be more perfect for thinking about diversifying your business into a little bit of ways to make money off of tourists. So global trends in tourism have to do with people who are traveling today. So these are trends that I've been tracking for a long time. As Nick said, I've been in the kayak industry for 25 years, really involved in sort of the industry of guiding for a long time. So I've been tracking this stuff for a long time. This year, I was just looking at some of the projections for 2016. And so what people are saying is that, again, travelers are looking for authentic. What's more authentic than spending some time on the coast of Maine? They're looking for experiences that are meaningful. Tourism has changed, right? If you looked at trends 20 years ago, trends were more about, I want to sit on the beach in Mexico with a margarita and just hang out there, right? So now travel trends, you know, hanging out on a beach in Mexico doesn't sound bad, but overall trends really have a lot more to do with tapping in with the people who live locally, learning about what they do, and feeling as a traveler like you are somehow not only learning from the places that you're going to, but also you're spending your money in a way that you feel good about. So travel is changing, and that's something that Maine is poised to tap into. Maine is absolutely poised to tap into. So there are some people in Maine who already have tapped into this, and there's opportunity for growth. And I will say that a couple of things that, in terms of Maine-specific trends, when you look at why people come to Maine, these numbers and these sort of trends are long and well-established. People come to Maine because they want the outdoors, they want the coast, they want lobster, they want lighthouses. They want a taste. This is a growing trend. People want to taste what you harvest out of the ocean or what you harvest out of your field. But in our case, out of the ocean, or your intertidal zone, your oyster farm. And they want to experience. They want to go out on your oyster farm and spend $45 to spend half an hour with you and help you haul in your oysters. This is the kind of experiences that people want more and more, and why they come to Maine. The other thing that's happening in Maine, which is kind of exciting for this potential, is that the tourism industry itself, so by tourism industry, I mean, you know, there's the Maine Office of Tourism, and the Maine, which is part of the, in Augusta, part of the Department of Economic and Community Development. The Office of Tourism has split the state into eight tourism regions. There are four on the coast. These are sort of your on-the-ground tourism, marketing, and sort of product development people. They're the ones who are trying to get information out about Maine to the traveling public. So they're part of the tourism industry, the local chambers of commerce, the tour operators, the businesses from out of state who bring like a van load of people or a bus load of people to Maine. All these folks in the tourism industry, they want you, right? They want fishermen, they want aquaculture farmers, because you represent that quintessential experience that the traveler wants today. So travelers want to cross something off on their bucket list. They want their own little reality TV experience, right? They want the rock star that is a fisherman or a fish farmer. And so the tourism industry wants to provide you as the great experience for their traveling public, the people that stay at their inn, the people that have an opportunity to come up. So there's this network, this growing network in Maine. On the tourism side of the equation, that part of the industry that is growing and that is really interested in connecting with fishermen, connecting with fish farmers, and helping you sort of turn what you do, not change what you do, but sort of build on what you do for an experience that where you can get a little bit of money to take somebody out on your boat or feed somebody what you're harvesting. So there's initiatives like Experience Maritime Maine, Down East Fisheries Trail, the local chambers, festivals. If you sort of take a look at the trends in festivals in the last 10, 15 years, more and more festivals have ocean and fisheries related themes, right? You're seeing more and more of those. There's the ones that have been around for a long time, the Clam Festival, the Lobster Festival, but they're localized festivals. Anyone been to the Smelt Fry down in Columbia Falls? That's a perfect example, right? Started off as this little community event. 600 people now show up in April, many of them not from the local community. So again, this is where you run the balance of like, that's a lot of people, what are they doing in my town? If you can channel that in a way that sort of contributes to the local economy, then it's sort of potentially a good thing. So just to wrap up, because I want to make sure we hear from all these guys, in terms of resources, the first resource that I would mention is other people doing this kind of work. So there are plenty of people in Maine who are already doing a lot of work to sort of share the amazing industries that we have here. And I would say, talk to them. learn from them, not from a wanting to sort of swipe their good ideas kind of perspective, but from a cooperative sort of perspective. Like, so you're running tours down the street off your lobster boat twice a week. What are you doing and how can we work together so that me in the next bay over, I want to run tours on my boat or take people on my farm. Ways to sort of think creatively for multiple businesses to work in the same region. Because again, tourism trends, what trends of travelers show is that travelers tend to go to regions where there's a lot of different options. So they won't necessarily go to one town because there's one business doing lobster tours. They're more apt to go to one town because, oh, there's three or four different businesses. These businesses are working together. They're connected. They're enabling me to sort of one-stop shop. Travelers want life to be easy, right? They don't want to be complicated. They want to have everything sort of handed to them. And so if there's a lot of options within a community, that enables them to just feel comfortable, come back. So working together instead of competitively with other folks who are already in the business is a sort of a good way to sort of enter into it. And then there's all kinds of business, you know, all the regular business support resources that you already tap into if you are running a business, whether it's fishing or aquaculture or anything. You know, there's coastal enterprises, there's the small business groups, there's, you know, the Office of the Department of Economic and Community Development. There's all these resources, SCORE, Cooperative Extension, which we can connect you to. And then our role at Sea Grant is basically to just sit down with you and help you think through. You know, if you have this idea, you've been a lobsterman for 30 years, and you have this idea, in your case it was aquaculture, you have this idea for how can I sort of augment my income by $30,000 a year? What would I need to do to my boat? What kind of permits do I need to get? Who should I talk to about getting a loan? That kind of stuff. Contact us at Sea Grant. That's sort of part of what we do, is just sit down and sort of help you think through your idea, whether it's at a beginning stage or a way advanced stage, try to help you make connections. I could go on, but I think I'll leave it there.